Well, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis of Someone Cares Ministry. Welcome to the broadcast today. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to encourage you, if you're able, to get your notepad, get your pen, get your Bible. We're going to search the scriptures regarding understanding the born-again experience and the saving of the soul. Now, I know that's a long subject, but we want to understand the born-again experience and we want to understand the saving of the soul. If we don't properly understand these two and how the scripture teach them, then we're subject to come up with all kinds of misconceptions of salvation. We're subject to come up with all kinds of false doctrine. But if we stay inside of the scriptures and we understand salvation from God's perspective, we will stay within the truth and we will make heaven our home. A lot of people think they understand the born-again experience when in reality, according to the scripture, they really don't. And that's why I believe the Lord has moved on my heart to take some time and break the word of God down so we can understand the born-again experience. Many people think that just because they are born again, they are automatically going to make it into heaven. But the Bible really don't teach that. The Apostle Paul, we know, he met Jesus and while he was on the road to Damascus, and then when he made it to Damascus, he was filled with the Spirit. We know he had a salvation experience. But even Paul himself taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 that except he keep under his body and do the things that he needed to do, that he himself could become a castaway. He said that in the last verse of the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now, that word castaway simply means you can lose your soul. Jesus talked about it in Luke 9, verse 25, when he said, what is a man advantage if he gain the world and lose himself or be cast away? Usually when the Bible talk about castaway, it's talking about losing your soul in the hell. Now, if Paul made the statement that I could be made a castaway, then what about us? Glory to God. A lot of people teach that you once you're born again, you can't lose your salvation, but the scripture don't teach that. The scripture teach just the opposite. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 all the way down to verse 2, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. Notice that the people are saved. It says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. So we know he's talking to born again people. Paul is simply saying that you can be saved and you can lose out with God. So I want to teach the true perspective of the born again experience. The born again experience place you in the kingdom, place you in a saved position, but keep in mind that in that born again experience, only the spirit has been born again and made divine. The soul is not made divine yet. The body is not made divine yet. And the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So we're going to have to be changed, spirit, soul, and body. The only thing that's completely changed and made perfect now is the spirit. Now we have to perfect the soul. That's why God gave the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We have to perfect the saints now. What are we perfecting? We are perfecting the soul. Amen. The soul need to be perfected. The soul is in a process called being born again. And we're going to look at that before we finish this series. But I want you to understand, if you caught part one of this message, and if you didn't, we'll encourage you to go online and listen to part one, amen, of this message that's entitled Understanding the Born Again Experience and the Saving of the Soul. And then in part one, I explained to you that the spirit is the only thing that's born again. And I also proved by the scripture that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. We've been taught that the spirit of man is the man, but the Bible don't teach that. And I want to encourage you, saints, search these scriptures according to St. John chapter 5, verse 39. Jesus says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And we've been taught a lot of things, but I want to encourage you, go to the scripture and see what the scripture has to say. And if the scripture contradicts our teaching, guess what? We need to drop our teaching and pick up the scriptures. Hallelujah. Because the scriptures are correct. So let's make sure we stick with the scriptures. When you read the Bible said the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And the Bible teaches us that the man himself is a soul. And if you need to verify that, you can go to Genesis 2 verse 7, which says that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul. You can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 45. The apostle Paul said the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. So all through the Bible is clear that man is a soul. Now, in the born-again experience, it was not the soul born again, it was the spirit. The Bible says that the soul was preserved to be saved. It teaches us that. If you look at Titus chapter 3, verse 5, here's what the Bible says about that born-again experience, and it gives us a little bit more light on what happened when we got born again. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Now he's getting ready to tell you how he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Notice the Bible said three things happened. There was a washing, there was a renewing, and there was a regeneration. And it was all done by the Holy Ghost. Let me read that again. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now the only thing that was born again is the man's spirit. Glory to God. According to St. John chapter 3 verse 3 and 3 verse 6 and 7. The spirit is the only thing that's born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. The spirit in us is the only thing that's divine, the only thing that's made completely like God. In that born again experience, the soul and the body was washed and renewed. Hence, both of them were sanctified the day you got born again. Now, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, and I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. How is it that Paul could pray and request that the spirit, the soul, and the body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord? I'll tell you how. It's because it was made blameless. When you was born again, your spirit, your soul, and your body, all three was blameless. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. Now, I want you to look at that scripture and look at it closely. And when God gave us the new birth, everything was made brand new. There is no way the scripture even come close to suggesting there's a sin nature left inside of us. Many people teaching that after the born again experience, we still have a sin nature. Let me share something with you, believer. When you study the Bible, you cannot find the scripture agreeing with that doctrine. That is a lie that was conjured up by men and inspired by demons. The Bible is clear that when you are made a new creature, God has made all things new. I'm going to quote that scripture again, and there's many other scriptures I can take you to, but I'm going to quote that scripture again, then I'm going to give you a confirming verse, two confirming verses, and then we're going to move on for our lesson today. But I want to let you know that if you hear a preacher teaching that we still have a sin nature, and you hear a preacher teaching that there's no such thing as sinless perfection, you need to turn that preacher off, because that preacher don't know what he's talking about. I'm telling you, the scripture is true. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, let God be true and let every man be a liar. So if someone tell you you still have a sin nature, and if someone tell you there's no such thing as sinless perfection, which simply means living a consistent, holy life for the rest of your life, that preacher was not sent by God. That is a sin message. And according to Galatians 2, verse 17, the Bible said Christ is not the minister of sin. And since Christ is not the minister of sin, he would not send a minister to teach to you a sin gospel. Glory to God. So let me quote that scripture again. And I want to encourage you to look at it, and I want to encourage you to look at it closely, because that scripture will tear up any doctrine that suggests you still have a sin nature. So now let's look at it closely, and we'll keep teaching today. And I feel like the Holy Ghost want me to park here a minute and share this with you, because maybe there's somebody under the sound of my voice that need to hear this. Amen. It says in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Everything that was old, everything that was sinful is passed away. Then the Bible said, behold, which means to focus in and look closely at it. God is challenging you now and giving you an incentive to go to the Word and look at the Word and see what God has said about that new creature. Then he said, behold, all things. The Bible says all things. All mean all. All things are become new. Now look at verse 18. It says, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Now that verse right there just tears up any sin nature doctrine. And you're going to have to make a choice. Do I believe these admired teachers in the body of Christ, or do I believe the admired Word of God? I choose to believe the Word of God. The Word of God is true. Go to Galatians chapter 5, and let's look at verse 24. Amen. I believe the Holy Ghost got me on this for a few minutes, because I want to establish you in the Word of truth. Amen. There is no sin nature still left in a born-again Christian. Glory to God. Now, look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. All the affections, all the lust that was in the old person has been crucified with Jesus Christ. So the true preaching of the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ, and the true preaching of the grace of God, states that all the old has been blotted out, and that you are now a new creature. And the Bible says you can maintain your life just like Jesus Christ. Give you a confirming verse for that. I'm only letting the scripture preach the lesson for you. Glory to God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. The Bible is absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, true. It says, if we say we abide in him, we ought to walk even as he walked. This Bible says you can walk just like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not walk with a sin nature, and Jesus Christ did not walk in sin. So anybody telling you you can't walk like Jesus, they are literally coming up with their own gospel and their own doctrine. Because this Bible says we can walk like him, we can talk like him, we can live like him. The scripture says, as he is, so are we in the earth. The Bible says that we can follow his steps. Ephesians 5 verse 1 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Let me take you to another verse, and then we'll go back to the born again experience. Glory to God. But I want you to see that this born again experience did a great work inside of us, and we don't need to let anyone belittle that work. Amen. For anyone to teach that we still have a sin nature and that we can't maintain holiness on a consistent basis, don't even know the scriptures. The Bible said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Saints, I'm telling you, if you're really born again and you're taught properly, you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God every single day of your life. But you have to be taught properly, and you have to discard false teachings out of your life. Anybody's telling you that you cannot maintain a life without sinning, they are not preaching this book. They are preaching their book. They are preaching their mind according to the scriptures. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Notice the Bible says you were dead. Now that you're quicker and you're made alive, you've been born again, you are no longer dead in sin. You were dead in sin. Now notice verse 2, it says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. When we was lost and dead in sin, there was a spirit working in us, and that spirit created a sin nature in us, and it had us craving sin. But now I want you to notice verse 3, because the Bible said, now that you have quickened, that you no longer have that sin nature, and that you no longer have that prince of the power of the air living in you. That thing is gone. Look at verse 3. It says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. Notice he said in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature. I want you to look at that scripture and look at it good. The Bible said we were by nature. You see, that old nature is gone. That spirit that had us in sin and under the wrath of God is gone. We do not have a sin nature any longer. We have the nature of God. And now as a born again person, we can live in the spirit. Galatians 5 and verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is sin. And in Galatians chapter 5, he names 17 lust of the flesh. And at the end of the last one, he said, and you won't do any of these things and like of the which means you won't do nothing like this if you're walking in the spirit. So we need to find out what the Bible means about walking in the spirit. And if you walk in the spirit, you won't sin. Glory to God. Let me give you a few other confirming verses that show that you can live above reproach and you can live above sin. Again, any preacher teaching you that there's no such thing as sinless perfection, I'm telling you that preacher came up with that out of his own flesh and out of his own mind. He did not get that message from God, or she didn't get that message from God. That message came from demonic powers. That message didn't come from the scriptures. Why would 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible said that the devil sent it from the beginning, and for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, and God would send his Son to destroy the works of the devil, but then turn around and send a preacher and tell you that you can't be free from the works of the devil, which is sin. No, that message came from demons. Glory to God. And the demons that promoted that message used men and women to teach it. So I want to encourage you, saints, let's go back to the scriptures. Again, Jesus said in John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Glory to God. And now, God has made us contenders for the faith, and I'm contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And that's why I'm teaching this Bible today, and I'm letting you know that, look, Christ is not the minister of sin, and we can be delivered from sin, and we can be strengthened by the power of God and never return to sin again. Psalms 4, verse 4, the Bible says, stand in awe and sin not. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34, the Bible said, awake to righteousness and sin not. Glory to God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible said, these things have I written unto you that you sin not. Glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Glory to God. You can cease from sinning, believers. You can live a life without sinning again. I know the Bible said all have sinned, but the Bible did not say that all have to keep sinning. In fact, there's a place in the Bible where it said we should stop sinning. Romans 6, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Here's the answer. God forbid. Amen. So I went through all of that to encourage you that if you're born again, you have the power to live like your Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible said when he come, we have to be found spotless. We have to be found with no sin in our life. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 11, go down to verse 14, that he's coming back for people who are blameless, living a spot-free life. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27, the Bible says that he gave himself that he might produce a bride without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing. That is the type of bride he's coming back to receive, and that is the type of bride that's going to have to be walking in the earth when Jesus comes, and you can live that way. Now, if you choose to believe men and women who teach that you can't live that way, then you suffer the chance of being left behind, because if you read Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 1, you'll read about 10 virgins. All 10 virgins was waiting for the bridegroom. The Bible said the bridegroom came and only 5 went back and 5 was left because the 5 was foolish. Keep in mind, all of them was virgins, which is a perfect picture of the born again experience, because when you are born again, you as if you become a virgin again in the spirit. Glory to God, a virgin as far as being free from sin. So this represent born again people. Guess what? Only 5 of those virgins made it because the other 5 was foolish. Glory to God. The Bible said they was left behind and the door was shut. And the Lord said, depart from me, I never knew you. And that's what God is going to tell those that have been born again, but yet they're not walking in righteousness and true holiness. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4, when you're born again, you're born in righteousness and true holiness. Now, if you're born in righteousness and true holiness, that means you can maintain righteousness and true holiness. So I want to encourage you, let's walk in the spirit and let's not walk in the flesh. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Amen. Also look at Colossians chapter 3. The Bible teaches us plainly that we can conquer sin in this life. Glory to God. So let's finish our teaching for today. We're talking about understanding the born again experience and the saving of the soul. On part one, we've already studied that in Proverbs 20, verse 27, the Bible said the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. He never said the spirit of man was the man. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible said, what man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in the man, telling you that the spirit in the man is not the man. The man is a soul, and the man possess a spirit. Glory to God. Now, if you want more verses, you can go look at Psalms 32, verse 8. You can look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 21. You can look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 8. You can look at Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1. All of these verses show that the spirit that's in the man is not the man. The spirit that's in the man is called the candle of the Lord. And that was the entity that was born again. It was not the soul. You look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 5 through 7, you see a man losing his soul. The man which is a soul goes into his long home, which is eternity. And the Bible said the spirit returned to God who gave it. And the Bible said the body returned back to the dirt. That's a man, if he loses soul, the spirit in that soul will go back to God. Telling you the spirit is not the man. Glory to God. The man is a soul. Now, if the man want to return back to God, then the man got to follow God. The way you follow God is you follow the spirit that's in the soul. God has put a born-again spirit in all of us that have accepted Jesus Christ. And as we follow the spirit, we become like the spirit, and we will return to God in the end of our life. But if you choose to live in sin and you choose to go opposite of the spirit, then God at the end of your life will cause your soul to enter into eternal punishment. That's what the Bible teaches. And Jesus taught, he said in Mark chapter 8, verse 34 and down to verse 36, he talked about what do it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul. I want you to notice when you read the Bible, you never see Jesus saying what do it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own spirit. You never see that in the scripture, but you do see where Jesus said you can lose your soul. The spirit will return to God who gave it, because the spirit in us is the candle of the Lord, but the soul is the person. Now, I want to look a little bit closer at Mark chapter 8, verse 34 down to verse 36, and then I'm going to take you to Luke chapter 9, verse 25. I want to show you and make it plain to you that Jesus taught that man is a soul. The Bible even records that Jesus taught the apostles, in your patience, you'll possess your soul. It is the soul that God is after. And in order for God to get the soul, he got to cause the spirit to first be born again. Now, look at St. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. The Bible is absolutely clear, and I want to point out some things to you as we go through the scripture. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me. Notice he said whoso, okay, and I want you to pay attention to whosoever. He said, let him deny himself. I want you to pay attention to himself. I'm getting ready to make a point, and that's why I'm calling out these particular words. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life, I want you to pay close attention to whosoever and his life. I'm going to read it again. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever, that word whosoever is again, verse 35. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. Now notice verse 36. Verse 36 is going to tell you who the whosoever is. Verse 36 is going to tell you who the his life is. Verse 36 is going to tell you who the himself is. Jesus teaching here, and look at what he said in verse 36. For what shall it profit a man, glory to God, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You want to know who the man is, the his life, the whosoever, the himself. Man is a soul, glory to God. Man is a soul. He possess a spirit and he live in a body. That's what Jesus taught. Now, I'm going to give you a confirming verse in one of the other gospels. Look at Luke 9, verse 25, and you see Luke's account of what Jesus was teaching. And Jesus makes it absolutely plain that the man is a soul. You never see where Jesus or the apostles or the scriptures teaching that I'm a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. And I want to encourage you that once you look at these scriptures and once you can see these scriptures, you need to admit that, you know what, I was wrong and I want to correct my wrong. Amen. But if pride stops you from correcting your wrong, then you stand to be judged by God if you continue in a path that is wrong and continue teaching the saint with a slant in your teaching. So I want to encourage those of you that are in the ministry, once you see the word of God for yourself, then guess what? Turn around and do it right. Praise God. Amen. Luke 9, verse 25. Look at what Jesus said. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself? Jesus called the himself the man. Amen. The himself is the soul. He's still talking about losing your soul. The soul is the man. Glory to God. The soul is the person. The first thing we're going to have to understand is the spirit is not the man. The spirit is the candle of the Lord. And the Bible says that when we are saved, that he light our candle. And that's why Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see. The born again experience causes the candle of the Lord or the spirit that's in us to be lit. Amen. And now we can perceive, we can see, we can understand the kingdom. But keep in mind, the soul has been preserved to be saved in the end. Glory to God. The Bible teaches that the soul has been washed and sanctified and is kept by the power of God in the spirit all the way to the end of your faith, 1 Peter 1:9, to be saved at the end. Now, if you return back to sin and if you get out of the spirit, the Bible says the soul that sinned, it shall die. We are born again in order for God to win our soul. I want to encourage you to go to our website to get more free teaching, and you can go to the website at www.someonecaresministry.org. That's www.someonecaresministry.org. Thank God for you, and remember, someone cares for you, and his name is Jesus.